Okay, the question that came up is, how do you witness and try to get a co-worker saved when they are so hardcore against Christ? Now, this could be a co-worker, it could be a family member, it could be just somebody that you've met while you're out witnessing that has securely set their feet on a pretty poor foundation, basically, against Christ, and are, as this question says, hardcore or very determined or hard-hearted against Christ. And what kind of situation are you in there? What's the background behind that individual? Why did they become that hard against the Lord? Was it because of something in their past? These are things that you might be able to find out while you're witnessing to determine your next move with dealing with that person. But mostly you got to be as good a witness as possible and share the gospel to them just like it would be to anybody else. And then what they do with that is really out of your hands. As long as you're working with that individual or around that individual, or if you return again to witness to someone who you've witnessed to in the past and you know it was a closed door last time, don't give up. Just keep trying, because eventually they may see the light and come to the realization that what you're saying is true. But there are some situations where people become blinded to the Word, become blinded to God because Satan has gotten a hold of them. Let's look at a couple things the Scriptures tell us on this. Look at Matthew chapter 10 in verse 14. The Lord was giving instructions to the apostles that He sent out to witness to the children of Israel. And He gave them, in verse 14, chapter 10, verse 14, says, "And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." So someone who has been given an opportunity to come to Christ and turned it down, they are going to be held accountable for that more so than someone who had never been given the opportunity of salvation in that sense, in that situation. Because the people that the Lord has sent out here were not sent out to Sodom and Gomorrah with salvation message to them. They were so evil. There will be a judgment. There will be accountability. There will be degrees of punishment for particular sins, for particular actions. Too many people have the attitude that, well, there's just heaven and hell. It's all equal. Equally great for everyone in heaven, equally bad for everyone in hell. Well, it's not true. All through the Scriptures, there's references to different degrees of judgment, different degrees of punishment, and different degrees of reward for the Christians. This one, He's saying to them that someone who has rejected Christ, if they wind up going to hell because they fail to accept Christ before they die, their punishment is going to be far greater than someone who lived a sinful life and had never been given the gospel, and they die. They'll have their time in hell as well, but the severity of the punishment will be different. And that's what He's pointing out here. But He's pointing out to them, the people that He sent out, the apostles, in verse 14, it says, "Whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet." As a testimony against them, saying that we are finished with you, you shake the dust off your feet, you are on your own. It's your responsibility because you've been given the message. You choose to receive it or not to receive it. And there's other Scriptures, we won't get into all of them, but about them rejecting. Well, here, let's go over to Romans chapter 1. This is a good one. It's talking about the mindset that they get into. Romans chapter 1. Now, of course, Romans is a book that is written to Rome, to the church at Rome, to the Christians in Rome by Paul. And in Romans chapter 1, let's go to verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it reads, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use to that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working what is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." Excuse me. "Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, and inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." This sums it all up right here. The attitude of man right now, the attitude of people in this country right now, the attitude of our government, the attitude of the world, the attitude, sadly to say, of many Christians, that they have turned to the world, they have turned to the world, they turned their back on God, they're ignoring the truth of God that is all about them and all the creation, and it has resulted in them being turned over to what God says here as a reprobate mind. They can no longer clearly see the truth that is right in front of their face because they have turned their back so long against the truth that is now, regardless of what we do, we won't get through to them. It's too late for them. It's sad to say that there are individuals out there that we will never reach because they've been given opportunity. They failed to accept that opportunity, and God's basically gave up on them and gave them over to a reprobate mind. That's why we see so much of this list of sins that he's listed here just going rampant this day and time. And we as Christians that are born again and have the Holy Ghost, we can see this. We are able to see things that those that are not saved are blinded by Satan and cannot see them. We can clearly see it. And we wonder why they don't open their eyes and look at it. It's because Satan has blinded their eyes. We could spend the entire day just talking about this one chapter here and all the things that it implies and it speaks of, about creation, about the people that think they're wise but yet they're fools and rejecting God and so forth. For time's sake, we won't get too deep into this. We will be working right into the book of Romans as we finish Acts, and we'll get into this chapter in far more detail. But for the answering of this question here, is clear that those that we go out to witness to, that there is just that rock wall there and you just can't seem to break through to it. It's like Satan has gotten a hold of them. He has closed their eyes, and no matter what we try to do, their eyes are still closed. And there's mention of this in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. Flip, if you will, on over there to that. So don't look at it as being a sad testimony to you if you can't get through to someone. And we should keep trying. I mean, we're told that don't get it to the point where it takes you down, that you feel like, well, I must not be a very good witness because I can't get through to this person. It may be too late for that person. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and starting verse 1 here. Reads, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, and we know the God of this world is speaking of Satan, has been given the power of the air, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Just go down a couple more here. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Okay, we've been given the gospel to preach to them, not of ourselves, but the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when they reject that message, it's not rejecting us, it's rejecting Jesus Christ. And it's clearly, as it says here in verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So those that we go out to try to witness to, that have put up that blockade, that hard heart, and just flat will not hear of anything that you tell them, and no matter what your efforts are, you just can't seem to get through to those people. And it seems so obvious to you as a Christian filled with the Holy Ghost, and you see their sin, their transgressions, and you try to help them, get them out of that terrible life and that misery that they're in, that they don't even realize they're causing, then it's clear that Satan has blinded them, has closed their eyes to seeing the truth that could be presented to them right there in front of them. Luke chapter 10, let's look at verse 16 here. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. Speaking to the apostles that he sent out there, the 70 that he sent out two by two, and telling them when they go out and to preach and to witness, that when they get rejected, that they are actually rejecting Jesus Christ. And when they reject Jesus Christ, they're rejecting the Heavenly Father. So it's not just a rejection of you. It's far greater than that, far more important than that. When you tell them about the gospel and they reject the gospel, they're not just rejecting you, they're rejecting God. And then they will be accountable for that. So we got to wash our hands, you might say, or shake the dust off. When we get to a point where it's just clearly you're not getting through to that individual, you might want to back off, live a Christian life in front of them. Every once in a while, mention something. You know, don't give up on them. Because if they're still within your circle of influence, always keep a positive influence on everyone that's in your circle of influence. But understand that there are some that no matter what your efforts are, you will not reach. Yeah, there are many out there that think that they have all the time in the world, to, especially the young. The young, when they get into the teens, they think, oh, I'm going to party and go crazy. And then when I'm in my middle age, which they figure 30s in their middle age, but you know, for us that are well over that, know that that ain't middle age. But they think that when they get there, that then they'll turn back to God. Then they'll get back in church. That they're young and healthy and they want to just party and have a good time because they think they're invincible and going to live forever. And you see on the news where they don't. They have a car wreck or they overdose on something or they get in an abusive situation and get killed. And there's so many things out there. The thing that we can do to try to reach those individuals is to let them know that we don't have any guarantee of another heartbeat. And, you know, when you have an opportunity to point out in the news, look, here's a young person that died in the midst of having what they thought was fun. They're dead. They're gone. They didn't have a chance to get old and then turn to the Lord. You know, us that are older, we have that responsibility to reach out to those that are younger, that have that attitude that, hey, I'll wait until I'm your age before I go to the Lord. And that's a dangerous attitude. And that's an attitude that Satan has spread and gives them a comfort in them, in their mind, thinking, well, I've got all kinds of time. I don't have to worry about that yet. And another thing we need to point out is that it is far better life living a Christian life than there is living in the world. I mean, when they think it's a better life living in the world than living a Christian life, that's this example here about the scriptures about how the God of this world, which is Satan, the power of the air, has blinded them, has fooled them, has convinced them of the lie that they can have fun in sin. There is what they consider pleasure in sin for a season, very short season, until it turns into a very, very uncomfortable, very unpleasant lifestyle. And they can see that if they are willing to open their eyes and look at even those that are around them. I mean, they go out and they might party, and then what happens the next morning? They're miserable. They're throwing up, they're sick, their friends are doing the same thing, or if they get a little too carried away, they wind up in the hospital, or they wind up dead. You know, we just got to continue to reach out to them and let them know that we don't have any guarantee of another heartbeat and that the rapture is imminent. I mean, it can occur before I finish the next sentence and we will be held accountable. And that's another thing that we got to let them know. If you don't have the kind of time that you think you might have. And there's examples in there when Jesus was talking to the rich man that piled up a whole bunch of treasure because he looked back and said, look what I've done. Now I can sit back and enjoy my retirement. And then he says, well, you're a fool because today your soul is going to be accounted for this. I mean, you're going to be dead tomorrow. You ain't going to have any opportunity to spend all this wealth that you've acquired. Paraphrasing, of course. But that's the example that he gave for the rich man, the people who put the treasure in that. Whether your treasure be in your attitude toward life and your goal is to enjoy life in what you think is enjoyable activities outside of the living the straight and narrow, that's where your heart is. Well, we got to let them know that that's not the focus they should be on. They should be focused on eternity. Not that few years that they might have to get out there and party and have what they think is a good time. And also let them know that it's a far better good time when you're a Christian. And there are things that Christ has available for us to enjoy that are far more fulfilling than what Satan has. But that is a bad situation, and the thing that we have to deal with is the young people with that attitude that they're just going to live forever or wait until they get old. But we got to let them know that we don't know when our numbers up, when we should be standing before the Lord. Okay, the next question here is, why are some women not named in the Bible? There are a lot of names vacant from the Bible, you might say, or not mentioned in the Bible, individuals that are described, but their name is not given. You got to think of the time setting when most of the scriptures were written and the mindset of those that were taking down the information and the inspired word of God. The message was not designed to focus on the individuals. It was always designed to focus on God and focus on the message. And also the mindset of many of those that were written it, they had a lot of emphasis on genealogy and family trees, and it was always recorded through the men, which is why many times the woman's name is left out, because the family trees and so forth, it's always important to follow that through the man's side. Now, in the New Testament, there is, 150 disciples named throughout the New Testament, and 30 of those are women. So a lot more men that were named than there were women. But also there were a lot more men disciples than there were women disciples. There are those that played a very important part in the New Testament. We just recently studied the couple, Aquila and Priscilla. And Priscilla being the woman, both those sound like women's names, but Aquila is actually the man. Aquila and Priscilla, that husband and wife that Paul hooked up with and went into business with, making tents so that he could make enough money to continue his ministry, they were missionaries as well, both of them important, and played an important part. That's why Priscilla's name was mentioned. You have the other one, Phoebe, that's mentioned. In some translations, they actually name her as a deaconess, but Phoebe was mentioned she was lifted up in a very important position as an instructor, as someone who gave assistance to Paul. And there's very few, like it says, very few women that have been mentioned in the scriptures. Now, we have in the New Testament, the four Gospels, the word or the name Mary mentioned many times. Too many times, scholars, commentaries have grouped all these women named Mary into one. But if you look at the timeline, there's no way that one Mary could have done all the things that they've attributed to one particular Mary, which Mary Magdalene is the most quoted or the most famous one spoke about, is Mary Magdalene. How close Mary Magdalene was to Jesus and the efforts that Jesus was doing and the assistance and ministry to Jesus. And also afterwards, who was it that came came to the tomb first? It was the women that came to the tomb first. So women are very important in the scriptures and should never be looked down upon as being not important. And just because their name is not mentioned doesn't mean that they weren't important. The focus should not be on recognizing the individual. And for that reason, the names are not in there. And they have an attitude, too many men have an attitude of chauvinistic attitude or an attitude looking down on women. I mean, this goes all the way back to what happened in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. But if you look at that, which we'll get into that a little bit more next week about Adam and Eve and the fall, Eve was tempted by Satan, the serpent, and deceived. But then Adam comes along, and all she has to do is reach it to him and says, "Here, eat this," and he eats it. It was so much easier for the man to fall. Satan knew that if he went after the woman, that then the man would just follow behind and fall. That's a sad note on Adam. A lot of emphasis is put, a lot of blame is put on Eve for what happened there. But Eve was going up against Satan himself, the challenge to turn that down, that temptation, that craftiness that he had, that was far harder than Adam. All he did was, she says, "Here, eat this," and he eats it. He went down real easy, which is sad because Adam failed. He did not support his wife. Where was he when all this was happening? You know, why wasn't he there defending his wife? Why didn't he cut the head off the serpent right there, end it? But he didn't. whatever he was doing. He wasn't there looking after his wife like he's instructed to. And we'll get into that a little bit more also. Well, let's look at a couple verses. Colossians 3:19 says, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." And in Ephesians 5:25 reads, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." So we are instructed to love our wives to the point that Jesus Christ loved the church, all the way to sacrifice and giving his blood for the church. That's how much we're supposed to love women. So we should never cut women down and say that they're not important. And we'll get into a little bit more about women next week, like I said. But the important thing is to remember that as far as the names go, the names in the Bible play a part of the genealogy, play a part of the continuity of the Scriptures, you might say. And so many times the women's names are left out because of that fact of the genealogy and so forth. And if you look at the genealogy of Mary in Luke, there are women mentioned in that, and the genealogy of Joseph in Matthew, there's women listed in that, Rahab and so forth, and we'll touch on a little bit of that when we go into the mothers of the Bible. But to answer the question, why aren't there more women named in there, is because of those factors, the genealogy, and they did not want the focus to be on the individual as much as the message that was being presented. But that's all we have time for. We've already 31 minutes in, so let's go ahead and close. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time that we set aside studying your Word. It's always an honor and a privilege when we get this opportunity to dig into your Scriptures. Please help us to be able to be a good witness, a witness to those that are out there that have this attitude that they're going to live forever. These young folks that think they can just wait until they're older and then turn to you. Please help us open their eyes so that they need to realize that at any moment that they could be held accountable and that they could die and be standing before you and kneeling before you at that time of judgment. Please be with all of us. Lead, guide, direct. Everything is said and done. So pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you.